Honorable Speaker, I wish. Honorable Speaker, I wish to speak on the determination under the Women's Empowerment Act. At the outset, I would like to say I do not regard this merely as another item of legislative before this House. I regard this as a part of a much natural national commitment, a commitment to ensure that every woman in Sri Lanka is able to live with dignity, equality, security and opportunity. The Women Empowerment Act takes our approach beyond the traditional concept of protecting women. It speaks of empowerment. And empowerment means that much more than protection. It means that a woman should have the opportunity to learn, to work, to earn, to participate, and to make decisions, to seek justice, and to determine the course of her own life. Honorable Speaker, the Act establishes an important institutional framework. It provides for the National Commission on Women the formulation of a national policy on the advancement and empowerment of women, mechanisms for the protection of women's rights, and an ombudsperson for women's rights. The Commission has substantial responsibilities, including receiving and investigating complaints concerning violations and women's rights, conducting inquiries, making recommendations for law reform, assessing the impact of legislation and policies, and promoting awareness of women's rights. Will this institution deliver what the women of Sri Lanka want? This is the real test before us. Honorable Speaker, this is a very important topic before us. It concerns more than 50% of the population of this nation and the rights that they are entitled to and the benefits that they could reap because it is their right once again. We are a multi-religious, multilingual society. Our religion and our beliefs have always remained near and dear to us. So has been the sentiment about one's language. Therefore, Honorable Speaker, vital task before the National Commission on Women is to facilitate and ensure that every facility and provision that has been provided to them under this Act is carried out to the very letter. That is to pursue the education of their choice and the career of their choice while still holding on to their beliefs, to their conviction and to their tradition. There lies inclusivity and the true celebration of a nation's celebrated diversity. Honorable Speaker, honorable members of the House, there is a woman in Colombo and the women living in a remote village. We are not a homogeneous group. There is the plantation worker, the factory worker, the professional, the entrepreneur, the woman working abroad to sustain her family, the single mother, the elderly woman, and the woman living with a disability. And there are women who, because of poverty, social circumstances, and other vulnerabilities, may not even know where to turn when their rights are violated. If this legislation is to achieve its full purpose, the benefits must reach each one of them. We must be unequivocal in this matter. We must also know that harassment of women is not a minor inconvenience, and discrimination is something that women should not be told, as they have been told through ages, just to tolerate it. Honorable Speaker, that also gives importance to law reform. This is particularly significant because discrimination does not always allow for deliberate individual conduct. Sometimes it arises on outdated law, an old procedure, an institutional practice, something that is called traditional. This system has failed to recognize the realities faced by women in this age and day. The Commission's ability to assess legislation, policies and practices and to recommend reforms, such as an opportunity to identify structural barriers, and Parliament shall remain receptive to those recommendations. Let us also take into account the valuable perspective of law and social justice. When society changes, Parliament must have the courage and wisdom to examine whether our laws continue to serve our people fairly. Honorable Speaker, there's another dimension of empowerment that requires our particular attention, which is economic empowerment. Women with no economic independence can be extremely vulnerable. Economic empowerment means access to education, employment, finance, and entrepreneurship. It means fair remuneration. It means ability to own and control resources. It means ensuring that work of equal value receives equal remuneration. The Act also recognizes the particular needs of women with disabilities. We therefore must ensure that women's empowerment is not reflected in our economic policies and employment policies alone, but in our financial inclusion of them in all development strategies we may formulate. Honourable Speaker, I also wish to talk about representation. A democracy cannot be fully representative if a substantial proportion of its population remain underrepresented in the places where decisions are made. The Act recognizes the importance of women's participation in decision-making and structures and positions at every level of government and mechanisms connected with administration of justice. Women should not only be beneficiaries of policy, they should be architects of policy. Honorable Speaker, we must ensure that women have a seat at the table and not on the menu alone when it comes to decision making and governance. They should not only be consulted after decisions are made, they should be part of that decision making process. Honorable Speaker, there's an important administrative provision that has been provided for in the Act. At the same time, we must assure that the remuneration provided is adequate to attract persons with the necessary competence, experience and integrity while being administered with transparency and proper accountability. Honorable Speaker, the National Commission on Women is not able to function alone and isolated. The ministry responsible for women and child affairs, the police, the judiciary, the Attorney General's Department, legal aid services, provincial and local authorities, education institutions, social, civil society and community organizations all have the important roles to play. And I would add one more institution.
Honourable Member, you have another 2 minutes.
That is of paramount importance, that is the family. Because laws can punish, institutions can protect, but lasting social changes require a change in attitudes beginning from our very homes. We must create workplaces where harassment is unacceptable, schools where girls are encouraged to lead, and communities where women seeking help is supported rather than stigmatized. Honorable Speaker, this Act was passed in 2024. We must now ensure that the machinery created by that Act becomes fully functional, visible and accessible. The National Commission must become an institution that women know about. Honorable Speaker, let us build a Sri Lanka where a woman's opportunity is not determined by her gender, but by her safety and her independence, where her economic future is not limited by outdated expectations, where her voice is not determined because she is a woman, but where leadership is determined by her ability, integrity, commitment and service to the people. Honorable Speaker, the matter before the House today is not one of women alone. If that is so, I wouldn't be on my feet this moment. It is an issue of justice. It is an issue of human dignity. And ultimately, it is an issue of the kind of Sri Lanka we wish to leave for the next generation. I respectfully call upon the members of this House to support the determination before us and urge that the implementation be pursued with the urgency, resources and institutional commitment that the women of our country truly deserves. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.